This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Frank Provenzano joining us right now as well, and I have dipped into some TX bourbon. Frank's got a little TX whiskey going on, and our friends at Wing Daddies, man, they brought up all the wings. Kevin, now you are a wing expert.
I love wings.
What is your favorite flavor wing? Because they got the honey heat sitting over here, and that one just sounds like it's amazing.
Well, that's the thing. Kind of going with my personality, this will make you sad. My favorite flavor is just basic buffalo.
Okay. Dude, that's okay. I'm sure they're experts
it's
in that.
It's delicious.
Too. Yeah, and it looks like they got a, is it lemon? Is it, no, that's Parmesan right there, man. They look amazing. So thanks to Wing Daddies and thanks to TX Whiskey for hanging out with us at Draft 101 downstairs, and then they brought us some food and drink
awesome.
Up to take care of us throughout the night. All right, so
I wish they would have done it the second after my weigh-in, because then I'd have been like, ah, rah, rah,
well, mine's
rah,
tomorrow morning, so I got to be careful with
okay.
Frank, I'm happy to see you again, man. What's going on?
Yeah, that holograph Frank is crazy.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, he's got a jerk.
he's got some fiery opinions there.
Old ladies ODing and stuff. I tell you, real Frank would let people go through at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty shocking. Mm-hmm. So also pretty shocking yesterday is like, oh, hey, Elvis Andrus got hit by a pitch. Oh, hey, he's out because he's got a fractured elbow. And now we learned, I guess better than anticipated, he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. But we wanted to have this discussion with you, Frank, because I'm sure you've been in situations where something similar like this has happened, probably unfortunately a lot. Is what's the immediate reaction and how does the planning go and all that if one of your top level players goes down?
Well, the immediate reaction is often a religious one.
Right.
Where it's like, oh God, you know, and you automatically kind of your worst fears come to the fore when it's an important player, high dollar player, then they go down. And you immediately want to get with your medical people and find out, okay, what is the initial prognosis? Because a lot of times these things look really bad.
Yeah.
You know, I've never played baseball, but I would imagine a broken elbow in baseball is
catastrophic.
On your throwing arm.
Yeah.
Like that's the most important thing for a shortstop right there is his throwing arm.
Okay, so you get a preliminary, and you get it from your doctors, but I'm sure your doctors
You get a preliminary from your doctors at the facility, and it's very preliminary.
Okay, and they're also probably telling you, we'll know a lot more in the morning, we'll know a lot more
correct.
Tomorrow, but that's not going to help you that night. What's the thought process? How does it go that night, knowing that you could just wait like 24 hours and you'll have more answers, but you should probably start figuring out something right now?
Well, it is two-track. I mean, you are set up for injuries in professional sports because they happen, number one. And so you do let people know organizationally and internally that you may need to be calling someone up. Not as much maybe in baseball where they have more positional players on the roster that they can fill in, at least in the short term, but certainly in something like, say, hockey where you have a minor league team. Now basketball has minor league teams where you're alerting the people in the organization to say, look, we may need to get people on the move and traveling and meet the team wherever it may be, whether it's at home, on the road, et cetera. And then the second track of that, or the second prong of that two track is, okay, what type of injury and the severity we're dealing with. And so normally in most of these facilities now, professional sports facilities, you'll have as far as diagnostics go, you'll have an X-ray machine.
Okay.
So you'll get a picture taken there that your doctors will look at
straight away. Okay.
And, you know, there are some times where I've been in the American Airlines Center and it's like, yeah, it's definitely fractured because, you know, you got a dark line where it's not supposed to be on the white part where, you know, it's clearly a fracture.
And if the GM or whoever wasn't there for some reason, do you have to have like your emergency teleconference that night or how does that play out?
I mean, you then have a conference with your coaching staff and say, okay, you know, it looks like he's not going to be available, at least in the short term. Minimum, he's out next game. You sort of do like a minimum likely and, you know, sort of pessimistic projection, but in the very short term, it's like he's not going to be available for either next game or this road trip, whatever it is. What do you feel as a coaching staff that we need to add to the lineup to give us the best chance to get through those games competitively?
Okay.
And so sometimes that may be a specific positional player, because maybe you can move a player into Elvis's spot, let's say, from the major league roster, and then you're calling up someone to backfill a spot that it creates, you know, somewhere else in the lineup. So that's where your initial sort of meeting will be, and that's immediately post game almost, is with the coaching staff. Say, what do we need? What do you need to get us through the next couple of games?
Kevin, that meeting that went on after the game, clubhouse meeting, is that something amongst the group where the players have their own little discussion?
I'm sure you can speak to this to a certain extent as well, probably to a lot of an extent. We're talking with Frank Provenzano right here on The Fan. I bet that meeting for the Rangers was twofold, because they were not playing well anyway. And so I think it's, hey, this is terrible. This is our chance to fold, or our chance to step up, because they're probably the worst team in the American League right now. And they were playing poorly even before Elvis got hurt. And you can blame it on Rugi, you can blame it on DeShields or whatever, but you can also blame it on execution. And I think that meeting was to discuss what's going to happen without Elvis, but to also discuss the need to step it up anyway.
Well, absolutely. And I think the question, you know, in that clubhouse is, do we want our season to be over in April?
God.
And the answer, clearly, you know, if you're halfway competitive, is no. And then the next step is, okay, well, we got to band together. And sometimes these types of injuries, especially to key and critical players in the short term, can almost give you a bit of a short term bump, as non-intuitive as that seems, because it does focus players. A lot of times when you talk, especially if it's an issue of execution, when you talk about execution and or the lack thereof, a lot of times that's focus or trying to make the lower percentage plays. And teams, when they tighten up, what they really do is that oftentimes they simplify.
Frank, is that almost like a similar thing that you get when a coach is fired or someone on the team is traded away that's been a big piece, and you kind of have this shift of everyone's mental state goes to, okay, well, now I'm the next man up. I got to be on my game so we can get moving forward and try and build on this.
100%. It's usually a short-term bump, because then your opponents who are scouting what you're doing figure out ways and game plan ways around, you know, your now much tighter but over maybe more simplified approach to the game.
Okay, so we've got some of the immediate answers, and I love the insight about going to the coaches and picking their brain for what do you need, what do you want. I imagine that's a conversation a lot. What do you need, what do you want? And so
yeah, a lot of times the coach would be like, I want a guy. I want a trade.
Yeah.
I know you got a big question here, but Broadus always says that GMs and coaches are honest whenever they have job security. Are coaches generally honest about what they want or what they need whenever you come with that question, or they want to say what you want to hear?
I mean, that's a really good point, and Brian's absolutely right. Like, they're much more likely to toe the organizational line when they feel secure. If they feel like their job is, you know, their job is on the line, they're on the hot seat, their short-term want is going to be much more performance-weighted than it is evaluation-weighted, where organizationally you may say, hey, this is a great chance to give so-and-so player who's down in the minors to give him a look.
Well, Frank, I'm glad that you said that.
Right? Nice segue, even holograph, Frank.
Because we're moving some pieces around.
Mm-hmm.
So Ronald Guzman, he's up. Gallo to the outfield, which at first I was a little surprised by, but that goes to what you said a minute ago about coaches saying, we can move this player. We already gave Gallo a run in the outfield. I know they wanted stability with him at first base.
Right.
Extreme circumstances, I imagine, call for extreme plans. And so they'll bring up Ronald Guzman, who a lot of people have been wanting to get up here for the last year or so. He will go to first base, and then Gallo will go to the outfield.
And baseball allows you to do that sort of short-term or even longer-term sort of lateral tinkering in my opinion, more than any other sport, because you can get everyone essentially bats, and you can get away to a certain degree. You can hide guys a little bit from a fielding standpoint more than you can hide guys performance-wise in other sports.
Yeah, they'll be exposed. Like Mike Napoli, you know, they tried to, his bat was good, so they tried to bury him in left field, and he got exposed. And teams will figure out, okay, we just got to pull at this area, and we'll that's why June Calhoun, they've been so afraid to bring him up because he'll get exposed in the field. But you're right.
You get exposed, but it's harder to key on a positional player in the outfield than it is to key on a positional player in another sport.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. Because think about Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith by the Rams was exposed during that game. And there were a number of times where Jalen Smith was exposed because he couldn't do this or he couldn't do that.
Because you can game plan and have multiple players working in concert to expose or key on that weakness. It's harder to do in baseball.
That's what Belichick does so well, right?
Oh, my God. He's the absolute best at it. All right. But let's go a little longer term then, because we learned today the good news: Elvis Andrus will not need surgery, or he's going to forego surgery. The bad news is still going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And with something like this, it always feels like you got to. Well, first of all, do you have to err on the side of the longer number?
I always did.
Okay. And then how do you go from there? Because let's use the Rangers as a very specific example. Because you can make these moves, and maybe it turns out great for them, and we find out that Guzman's got more pop than anticipated, and he's ready to go, and that would be super awesome. But on the other side, you have a team that has not been playing well. It seems as though it would be a bad idea to make a replacement move, like the trade that you referenced. How much thought has to go into that and say, I get what you want, but it would be a bad idea to spend future resources for a short-term thing that hasn't been going super awesome.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a debate you get into with the coach. You get the coach's input into what he needs, and then you have to go back and say, okay, how can I fill that need? Can we try and fill it in the short term internally, either by moving players around on our major league roster, calling a player up, et cetera? Or can we fill it up externally? Can we fill that need externally through a player acquisition, either signing someone who's not playing or making a trade? In the sense of making a trade, that solution has organizational cost in the sense of assets going out the door, typically. And you have to then make that determination as a manager to say, it's either worth it to spend those organizational assets or it's not. And a lot of that has to do with the atmosphere that you're working in or the competitive life cycle that you're at on where is your team at competitively. And, I sort of flippantly said they don't want to say, in that player meeting, they don't want to say that is our season over in April. But in reality,
do they know?
The season is likely not, playoffs are likely not on the Texas Rangers horizon, in all likelihood, just given the division that they play in. And now, given that they're probably going to go 2 months of a, 6 month season without one of their best players. So that will factor in to the equation for the manager or for the management, John Daniels, to say it really doesn't make sense for me to spend too much in terms of futures to solve this short-term roster need because of injury.
So that's why you're also not, going and diving into the free agency pool to get a guy that, you think is going to be a big time player. Maybe what they did during this offseason was the right thing in terms of what they want to do for the future of this. But what Frank just said right there, that's why he's DFW's general manager. That's why he's in that seat, because he answered the question, is this team at that point? And he just answered the question for you right there. They already know.
No, absolutely. And I have one more question.
They should know. They might not want to believe it, but they should know.
I feel like that's where so many people get into trouble in sports too. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You don't want to believe it, but you should know. Is what about the player himself? When do those meetings take place? Like, when do the Rangers talk with Elvis? When do they give him the speech of, hey, we could really use you back as quick as possible, or don't rush it, this season's a lost cause? Like, how does that go down?
You wouldn't really frame it that way. I mean, it's basically you give timelines for injury recovery. And my experience is that, generally speaking, players, especially these days with so much riding financially on their long-term health, they're much more reluctant to have a team of advisors and even have a team of secondary medical people that oftentimes they get opinions on to counter those of the team, that they are reluctant.
The team loves that.
They're reluctant to really push recovery time too much because their moneymaker, you know, Elvis Andrews' moneymaker is his elbow, to your point, Corey, I almost forgot your name. Must be the.
It was Kevin that asked that question.
No, but you had the point. Okay. See, it was his question, your point.
Yes. Bassick said what you said last night. He came on today and said, and you can probably lay out the structure of his contract. He said, I think it's more likely he opts in for his contract.
Yeah.
And because.
Well, he's not going to put up the numbers.
Yeah, and that's what he needs to have the leverage to go out there and make himself, you know, what. And how many teams need a shortstop that is him and that doesn't have that to go along with it?
What a weird silver lining on a season that we're all hopeful but also all concerned about already.
Yeah.
That maybe you lock down Elvis for the next 4 years and Project 2020 is a strong go because of a freak injury.
It's weird, man. It's a weird season that we're already dealing with too, right?
I know. We're like 14 games into it. Yeah, today is the Rangers' first off day, right?
Yes.
So we're 14 games in. It hasn't worked out well. You've already lost three of your starters in the field and one of your starting pitchers. What the hell is happening?
Can we do a segment or a show one day to remove the voodoo curse that has fallen on the professional sports teams of the DFW?
You know it's Corey's fault, right?
It is my fault. I jinx everything.
I'll tell you more about that later.
All right.
It's his fault for sure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.